Good evening. You've tuned in to Panhandle Community Radio, and it's time for Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Jim Healy. And each week, we are interviewing representatives, one each, from each of the 50 states in our union. We'll do two states per night, and we are starting out tonight with the Hawkeye State, the Corn State, the 32nd most populous state, home to more than 3 million people, the 29th state in the Union, inducted into the United States on December 28th, 1846. We're talking to an Iowan named Michael Welp. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you for did I almost flub that? Yeah, thank you very much for being here. Where in Iowa are you from?
I am from a town called Fort Dodge. And if you divide it into fourths, I'm in the upper left quadrant, right in the middle of that quadrant.
Iowa's a state that's very easy to divide into fourths.
It is.
Yeah, unlike Idaho, which is a tough pizza to cut into slices.
I-35 kind of splits it vertically.
Mm-hmm. So you're from Fort Dodge in the upper right?
Upper left.
Okay, mm-hmm. Northwestern Iowa. What kind of town is Fort Dodge? How big is that?
It is a town of about 25,000.
Oh, good size.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you can drive 5 minutes from any part of town and be in a cornfield or a hog farm.
Oh, one or the other. Mm-hmm. And how long did you live there?
I lived there my whole life in one house, 18 years. And then I went to Iowa State in Ames for college. And I have five older sisters. And half of us went to Iowa. Half of us went to Iowa State. My dad went to Iowa. So
a divided house.
Friendly rivalry. Yes.
What's the geography around Fort Dodge like?
Pretty darn flat. Well, one thing about Fort Dodge is it's known for gypsum. There's a lot of gypsum quarries that, you know, make drywall and all kinds of things. And that was what I grew up around, was a lot of cool. And my dad ran a limestone mine just north of town, too, and his brother and brother-in-law. So they were in the rock business making concrete, lime to put on egg fields and things like that. And that my grandpa started that with a mule named Jenny.
Jenny. What was it like? Were those fun places to explore? Were the gypsum and the limestone quarries as a kid having adventures there?
I didn't get out to the gypsum quarries when I was younger. Well, we did go to some quarries because the old ones would fill up with water and you could swim in them. Mm-hmm. You weren't supposed to dive. And they were also fishing places. I went to Crawford Park, which had this huge, you know, probably 30, 40 foot kind of clayish cliff that we used to climb up on. And the bottom of it was a little creek. And there was a railroad that went across a railroad bridge, and somebody had painted Lionel on it. So I thought it was a Lionel train.
if it weren't, it should have been.
Yes. You know,
well, I mean, that would be. Now, how far would Fort Dodge been from the Mississippi River?
We were on the Des Moines River.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Okay. Des Moines River went right through Fort Dodge, and so we had a hydroelectric power plant from that. And I remember a lot of railroads growing up. So it was a railroad town. And, you know, I moved to bigger cities and I remember planes, but I grew up in the railroads, that kind of speed and energy. And when I moved from where I was in Minneapolis to Sandpoint, I felt like I was trading planes back to train speed. And
going back to trains again.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So did the Des Moines River flow into the Mississippi?
I think so. And the Mississippi is what's on the right border of Iowa.
Right.
So the Missouri flows down the left border and Mississippi on the right. And, you know, there's parts of eastern Iowa that are hilly, but most of Iowa is incredibly flat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's squared off and you can see for miles.
When I used to live in Lincoln, Nebraska and drive home into northern Indiana. I'd go across all 311 miles of Iowa. And You know, you're absolutely correct in your description of the roads. I thought of Woody Guthrie's Ribbon of Highways. Mm. You know, you look at it and it just undulates across the state.
The thing I remember is the wind. You know, the wind was constant when I, you know, I got older and I read my kids, The Little House in the Prairie, that's similar in South Dakota where there's nothing to stop the wind. You know, The Long Winter, those books. I remember just cold wind all winter long. It was just like 30 blow wind chills. And then in the summer, it'd be hot.
And humid.
Humid winds.
Humid. Mm. Humid.
Yeah. Yes. The average wind speed in Des Moines is 12 miles an hour. So for every time it's windless, the next day it's like 24.
You grew up in kind of a mining area, which I do not picture for Iowa.
Yeah, I don't think most people knew it was there. I knew it was there because my dad's and my family's business and stuff. And the gypsum quarries were around. But there was the Iowa Beef Packers company that was that. There was a veterinary company that made supplies. There were different small businesses. Hmm. But a lot of farmers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Farming is pretty much what I picture.
Yeah.
Corn. Yeah.
Right.
That's still pretty much true today, isn't it? Corn and what, soybeans?
Yeah, corn, soybeans primarily. Mm-hmm. My very first job was dressed up as a clown in the Frontier's Day parade and following horses with my sisters picking up poop and putting in a wheelbarrow while my dad ran along the side of this sidewalk with a movie camera.
What age? Can you give us an age?
I was about 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did it pay well?
I think I got it felt like a huge amount. I don't know if I got $50, but I got a check from the Frontiers Day thing, and that felt good. And then I was a detasseler for corn, so I would ride my little Stingray bike out at like 5:30 in the morning to a place where the school buses were, and they would bus us out to the farms. And the first thing we did was pick beans or cut out the rogue beans that were too big and kind of grew wild. And then we would be in these huge machines, and you had somebody you were in a tray, you know, 5 feet up from the ground, and you were picking, detasseling corn as you moved, the tractor moved down the row. And there was like 10 of us in one machine.
Whoa. Why would you detassel corn? Now, I'm totally ignorant about this.
Me too.
Yeah, the reason you do that is to make it become seed corn. So like companies like Pioneer Seed, that corn, don't ask me the technology behind it, but if it's detasseled, then it somehow it becomes the corn that they sell as seed for next year. So it's not, you don't detassel like sweet corn that you eat.
Okay, I was going to ask you because, you know, I take away the tassels when I buy it here locally. So if you left the tassels on, it turns into corn on the cob.
Probably. I don't know. That's a good question for Google these days.
Or animal feed.
Yeah. Or somebody that still lives in Iowa. Yeah.
That must have been dusty or hot.
It was. The wind helped, you know, in some ways. But, it was hot and dusty. You're right. The wind, you know, back then they would plow the fields in the fall, which they don't recommend because all the soil blows away all winter.
Right, right. You know, it blows over the next county. Hmm. Did that pay well?
It felt like it at the time.
Gal, from a poop from a poop scooper to a detasseler.
I know.
What a career.
I know.
Do we dare ask what's next?
I don't remember what's next. I went to college, I guess. I was a security guard at my dad's limestone mine on Sundays, and I did shop cleanup and stuff on those summers. Huh. That's what I did, and some lifeguarding.
Yeah. Well, that's a
life in Dodge City, Iowa.
Yeah.
Right.
Or Fort Dodge. Fort Dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the nearest? Well, here's a question, a little trivia question. What is a Hawkeye? Why is it the Hawkeye State?
Well, there's not a lot of mountains to climb or lakes like Sandpoint, so people become sports fanatics in the Hawkeye State, and particularly the University of Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yes.
That's why they call it the Hawkeye State, as far as I know. And then I went to Iowa State, which is actually the Cyclones.
That's right.
Yeah. And so the biggest football game of the year is when Iowa and Iowa State played each other. And, you know, so the Hawkeyes are part of the Big Ten. And yeah. Iowa State was originally part of the Big Eight. I know it's all changed around now. But, you know, there's a lot of black and gold for the Hawkeyes. And everybody went. So my brother, my oldest brother-in-law and sister, they're big Hawkeye fans. Mm-hmm. He's literally missed like 4 football games in like 40 years. And they've all been because of weddings and things like that.
Whoa.
The people at University of Iowa Hawkeye games are crazy fans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the children's hospital sticks up over the top of the stadium. You've heard of that, Jim?
And the people who are in the stadium wave to the children who are patients in the hospital. And it's sort of like affirmation to the young kids who are there because of illness or whatever. And I've seen that on television. I think it's fantastic. There's a certain
time of the game where everybody turns
away and looks at. But can I bring up a sports thing with Iowa? I went to graduate school in Lincoln, Nebraska in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the stations would do Iowa high school girls basketball.
Yeah. Right.
And I had never seen girls basketball in the late 60s. And that was the day when you would have 3 defensive players and 3 offensive players, and they did not cross center court.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That was still happening when I was in high school.
And
yeah,
Iowa is the hotbed and the birthing of women's basketball, you know, on the high school and college level.
Wow.
It was just amazing. And I came from Indiana, which is the center of high school basketball.
Yeah. The other big, huge sport is wrestling.
Yes.
Iowa wrestling, Iowa State wrestling. I had a friend that was an NCAA champion in Oklahoma. There's certain states in the Midwest that big
Oklahoma's a biggie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was a swimmer when I grew up, so I was into swimming, and that was a popular sport, too.
Did you swim in the Des Moines River?
I hope not. I don't remember that. Yeah. Did a lot of pool swimming, but we used to swim 5 miles a day for practice before and after high school.
I just found that Hawkeye Point is the highest natural point in Iowa, perhaps contributing to the name. I don't know. Or maybe they named it after the school.
How high?
But guess what? It's 1,670 feet.
That's higher than I thought it'd be.
It's a little lower than where we sit right now.
Do you still have family back in Iowa?
I still have one sister there, Margie, and in Nevada, which is near Ames. Yep.
Okay, and do you get to back this much often?
Not that often, but I have been back. You know, my sisters and I went to a wedding, one of my niece's weddings, and then we went back to Fort Dodge, and we talked to the guy that lives in the house we grew up in, and he let us walk through it. That was really fun.
What was that like, Michael?
It was both fun, reminiscent. You know, all the little secret hideaways that I made in the house to see if they were still there.
Did you see your bedroom that you grew up in?
Yeah.
Little Mikey, you know. I mean, how cool is that?
I you know, one of the things I used to do when I was playing with electricity a lot. And one time I tried to hook one lamp into 2 outlets at the same time to see if it would get brighter. And it started a fire. So I put it out before my parents went home, and then I had singed the paneling, singed the pillowcase in 2, and, you know, I hid the evidence, told my parents 10 years later. So
it was a lightning strike.
It does not work to plug a lamp into 2 outlets at the same time to get it
and
brighter.
You remembered that.
I know now that I had a chance of either nothing happening or there was a loud noise from the furnace room.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was a problem.
That's wonderful. Okay, tell us about what kind of city is Des Moines?
Des Moines is, you know, also flat. I mean, there's Des Moines, there's West Des Moines, which grew up as a bigger part of the city. I was on the swim team, so we would go to all these cities to practice. But I remember going to the Capitol. We'd go down. I also had allergies, and we would go down to an allergy clinic regularly in Des Moines. That was my earliest memories of Des Moines. Mm-hmm. And Drake University is there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A well-known private university.
Right, right. Yep.
It's a, but it's a pretty decent sized city, isn't it? I mean, Des Moines is not small, and it is the capital. Let's see, it looks like
it's a pretty good size. Yeah, well,
about Spokane-ish size, 214,000 people.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. And when I grew up, we had Governor Ray, Governor Robert Ray, who's the oldest governor and senior governor of the nation. He's been serving the longest, and my dad was on his reelection committee. So I have this picture of offering him popcorn, a dad and I standing there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when I left college, what's the oldest senator's name from Grassley? It's Charles Grassley.
Grassley, yeah. Yes.
He got elected in around 1983 or 4 or something like
and
that.
And he's still there.
And he's still there. I've been gone. I'm like 63 now. And he's been governor since I was like 20.
And 40s and 50s. Yeah.
I wrote an email to him because I liked one thing he voted on. And I said, you're a fossil.
Okay.
I didn't hear back.
Okay. Speaking of politics, the Iowa caucuses. Mm-hmm. Is this a major feature in the life of an Iowan?
It is. I don't remember being active in it myself back then much, but yeah, I mean, always being the first.
Mm-hmm. Right,
You know, the first show, and that was cool. That was, I mean, it brought a lot of interest, so we got a lot of attention.
Yeah. I get it maybe didn't take off. I think New Hampshire was maybe a bigger deal in the period of time that you were living there. I think it wasn't until into the 80s when it started becoming the place where a lot of presidential candidates would go.
Yeah, maybe that's why I don't remember
and
as much.
And go to the state fair. Finishing.
Yep.
Yeah.
State fair was fun, yeah.
If my memory or if my knowledge of history is correct. State fair is fun, you say? How's the Iowa State Fair? Mm-hmm. Big deal?
It was the only one I knew about growing up, so.
Yeah.
And you know, the 4-H is a huge part of that. So there's lots of contests and things, farm animals and shows.
How's the food?
Yeah. What would be something, you know, unique that's Iowa?
Well, you know, growing up in the 70s, late 60s, 70s, early 80s, I never ate sushi. I think there was one Chinese restaurant in town, Wan's Wonton Inn. And you know,
that's
so
a mouthful.
I had very little exposure to ethnic food or variety food. I just remember my parents ate iceberg lettuce, and they were exotic because they put blue cheese on it, and you know, carrots, and you know. So I went to grow up in college, and I went to different places, and I found wow. And I imagine there's a lot of other foods that have grown up in Iowa over the years now. And there's a lot of immigration that's happened in Iowa. It's brought a lot more diversity into Iowa.
How about Fort Dodge as a city? Has it grown? Has it declined? Or would that be something you, what does your sister say? She still lives there?
No, she's not, but she's part of a family that still owns some of the land the mine's on. Okay. So she's part back there sometimes. But, you know, I think it was at one point 28,000. And then it went down to 25,000. I don't know what Fort Dodge is now, actually, but it's, you know, like a lot of towns, probably shrunk some. And yeah, I think the you know, as industry comes and goes.
Yeah, it is in the 2020 census, it's 24,000 down from 25 in 2000. So yeah, it's slight population decrease in Fort Dodge.
How many years have you lived here in Sandpoint?
I moved in Sandpoint in 2003.
Okay.
So about 22 years now. Yep. And I had lived in Minnesota before then. So after college, I went up to Minnesota. I was an Outward Bound instructor leading dog sledding and canoeing. And then I went in a year in South Africa for Outward Bound. And then I came back sometime in D.C. for grad school.
So living here in Sandpoint, you've discovered that life can be lived without humidity.
I know.
Isn't it wonderful?
And without mosquitoes, essentially. I mean, if there's bugs here, I don't really register them after living in Minnesota, where I think they're the state bird. You know? It's like, but mm-hmm. I'm just amazed getting to live here and choosing to live in Sandpoint with the beauty and the lakes and the forest. And I remind my daughters, so I have daughters 24 and 26. I said, well, you know, you all could have grown up in a cornfield with me.
Fort Dodge.
Yeah, you could have grown up in a flat, and that you could have, you know, just, you know, detasseled corn. And, you know, you didn't have to live in this and ski all in the weekends and play in the lake.
And how does that register with them?
Oh, they're like, Dad. Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Oh, come on.
I grew up in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I know that when I talk about food.
What part of Minnesota?
Southwest suburbs, the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. I did have family in Iowa, and I know the story is that my dad went to visit the in-laws for the first time in Iowa, and they had corn for dinner, and it was just corn. And he was a little surprised that they were just, that there was, when they went to bed, he didn't want to be rude, but he said to my mother, corn is a side dish. Corn is not.
Yeah, dinner. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
But they were corn farmers. That's what they had.
I do love corn.
Me too.
And we had watermelon in the hot summer too. I remember that well, loving that. But
melon soup.
I tell everybody, I grew up in Iowa. I moved to Idaho. I traded corn for potatoes.
Mm-hmm. The other stereotype I have as a Minnesotan about Iowans is that they would come up to the lakes in Minnesota and they would catch catfish, which is not a popular fish for Minnesotans to catch. And you could spot the Iowan because they would be down in the kind of in the shallow, sandy part of the lake. Looking for the catfish.
A pond qualified as a nice lake in Iowa. There's Lake Okoboji near Minnesota, but a lot of the lakes I grew up on playing in, Twin Lakes, were pretty dirty.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at a map. The northern border of Iowa is the total southern border of Minnesota. You know, perfect. You know, I mean, it's perfect length.
Yeah, same with Missouri underneath it.
Yeah, Missouri underneath is the northern border of Missouri is the southern border of Iowa. Mm-hmm. Then you take the western and the eastern, that gets chunked up with Illinois and Wisconsin to the east and Nebraska and South Dakota to the west. But that's very interesting that the north and south borders are
flat.
Flat.
Just lines, right. Which, you know, the roads are square, the plots of land. You know, when you go to the East Coast, small states in the east, it's like Europe. Their roads are curvy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what's
somebody,
with that?
Somebody was obsessed with rulers when they drew out, plotted that's certainly out true. Iowa.
That's a major difference, isn't it? Between this part of the country, too, where we're interrupted by rivers and mountains all the time. Yeah, in the Midwest and in Iowa, you get just long, straight chunks of county road and highway.
I think the other thing that really stands out to me is it just felt like really good, grounded, earthy people that had strong values. And I feel like I had a good growing up in that culture.
And dealing with the elements, you mentioned hard winters. And hot, humid summers I imagine, though, the shoulder seasons. I imagine fall in Iowa with the changing colors. Just beautiful.
It was beautiful. Yeah, and I remember the tulips in the spring, too. You know, my mom was from Florida. We would go there, and then I really experienced humidity. So it made me feel like I didn't have humidity in Iowa. I thought Iowa was kind of humidity-less until I moved to Idaho.
And then, lo and behold, another level.
Yeah.
Michael, we're running out of time. And any last question or that you would prefer that we would have asked you about Iowa? Have we given a fair representation of the state?
I think so. I'll probably wake up tonight in my sleep and think of a whole nother. Well, you mentioned Greg Brown before. We were just chatting. He's a wonderful folk singer from Iowa. Mm-hmm. A lot of great music.
And we'll probably play a Greg Brown song Great. To fill out the half hour. Michael, thank you so much for coming down to 88.5 KRFY and joining in. Know your states, know your community.
Thank you for letting me represent Iowa.